Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We start now with Guardian columnist and national security reporter Glenn Greenwald. He's continuing to report on the extent of the NSA's program to monitor phone and digital records. Let's discuss the newest revelations about the extent to which even low-level staffers at the NSA can access data. We'll also talk about Edward Snowden, last week's surprisingly close vote in Congress, and his upcoming congressional testimony. Glenn Greenwald joins us from Brazil, where he lives. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So I saw yesterday that you tweeted that your congressional testimony had been postponed. What was it going to be, and has it been rescheduled?
The idea of the hearing was one which was created by a bipartisan group of members of the House of Representatives who felt that there's been far too much focus on the personalities involved in these NSA stories, specifically talking about Mr. Snowden, and not enough on the substance of the revelations. And they invited me to come and speak exclusively about what our reporting has showed, what these documents reveal, what we're going to continue to research and report. We don't yet have a day for when the hearing will be rescheduled, but we're trying to make it be within the next 48 to 72 hours.
And does that hearing mean that you have access to particular information that congressional members don't, or is it that they can't speak freely about it themselves?
There's no question that I have access to all sorts of information about the NSA that members of Congress don't. Remember, it's been, I think, 6 weeks now since we published our first story, which is on June 6, revealing that the NSA was collecting the telephone records of every single American every single day for local and international calls, and has been doing this for several years, that the vast, vast majority of members of Congress had no idea that that was taking place. They were shocked that it was taking place. They felt like it's a violation of the laws they enacted. And that's been true for several other stories that we've published, and I have 10,000 or so top-secret documents from the NSA that virtually nobody in Congress has access to, with the exception of a few members of the Intelligence Committee. And so certainly there's information I have that they don't.
So, Glenn Greenwald, the last time we had you on the show was just after that first story about Verizon records broke, and listeners had a lot of mixed emotions about it. So we want to hear listeners from you. What are your questions from Glenn Greenwald? It's been about 6 weeks since we last heard from him on the Brian Lehrer Show. How has your opinions changed as this story has developed? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What are your questions for Glenn Greenwald? 212-433-9692. So out of curiosity, Glenn, you live in Brazil. Have you been back in the U.S. since Edward Snowden leaked you the documents and since you broke this story?
No, I haven't.
And are you worried at all about coming back on U.S. soil? There have been lawmakers who've called for your arrest.
Yeah, there's been prominent politicians. There's been prominent journalists who have called for my arrest, who have said I should be prosecuted. And, of course, right before we began breaking these stories, there was a big controversy because the Obama administration had filed documents in court formally accusing Fox News journalist James Rosen of being a co-conspirator with the source. And everyone knows that the Obama administration has been unprecedentedly aggressive when it comes to the news-gathering process and leaks and the like. But I know from being an American citizen that the very First Amendment of the Constitution says that we have freedom of the press, which I take seriously. And so, of course, it's not something that I just dismiss away. It would be irrational to dismiss away those threats. But at the same time, I know that we're protected under the Constitution. And so when I'm ready to come back to the United States, I will certainly do so without hesitation.
Okay, let's talk about your continued reporting on the extent of NSA's capabilities. Here's Edward Snowden from the initial interview you posted on the Guardian website earlier this summer on what he was able to do. Let's take a listen.
Any analyst at any time can target anyone, any selector anywhere. Where those communications will be picked up depends on the range of the sensor networks and the authorities that that analyst is empowered with. Not all analysts have the ability to target everything, but I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
So that was a claim that made a lot of people perk up, and lawmakers disputed that assertion. Have you learned more?
I've learned a lot more, and in fact, the story that we're now in the process of finalizing and are ready to publish in the next 24 to 48 hours at most makes absolutely clear that what he said is exactly the way that the NSA functions. If you are an analyst who has access to the core search programs of the National Security Agency, you have, number one, access to a database that contains tens of billions, with a B, billions, of telephone calls, email addresses, emails, and other internet activity that the NSA has collected, stored, and analyzed over the years. You then have on your screen extremely simplistic search fields like you would see at a grocery store or in a shipping and receiving department, where all the analyst has to do is enter the email address they want to search or the IP address or even by keyword, and those programs then go and search that huge database of billions and billions of emails and other interactivities and will show the analyst the content of the emails, what internet history, browsing history you have, what Google search terms you've entered, which web forums you visited, even the content of your Microsoft Word documents if you ever sent them or received them over the internet, an extraordinary array of information at their fingertips, which they can get with no prior approval. Nobody overlooks their search terms or has to approve it first. They certainly don't go to a court. They don't even have to go to a supervisor. They have after-the-fact auditing by their own supervisors, but a very, very weak system of oversight given the shocking amount of information they can access at any moment.
So you said no prior approval. But in that clip we just heard from Edward Snowden, he says that not all analysts have the ability to target everything. So how much clearance is required? Who has that capability?
Right. Well, certain programs are designed to do certain things, and other programs are much more vast. And there are certain programs that basically are designed to search the entire database. And the ones that he had access to, were ones that searched the entire database. Now, remember, he wasn't a very high-level official at the NSA. He wasn't even an employee of the NSA. He was a contractor working first for the Dell Corporation and then Booz Allen. And so the number of people who have the kind of unfettered access that he has, numbers in the thousands. We're not talking about high-level officials who are political appointees or anything even remotely like that. We're talking about a very large number of people who are relatively low-level within the agency.
And you said this piece is forthcoming in the next 24 to 48 hours. I want to ask you a bit about the reporting process for it to the extent that you're comfortable talking about it. Is this corroborating what you heard from Edward Snowden earlier? Do you have a new source? Are you continuing to get information from Edward Snowden?
It's the documents that, you know, remember, we have, I mean, many, many thousands of documents. These documents are complicated. Some of them are technologically and legally complex, so they take time to process and read and understand and vet and then report. I think we published 13 or 14 breaking stories in the last 7 weeks based on these documents, so the pace has been rather fast. There's been others that I've written in foreign newspapers and magazines, but the source is not for our reporting is not what Mr. Snowden tells us. The source is what the NSA's own documents very clearly document.
I wonder, based on the documents, but are you hearing from any other government sources as these articles have come out? Are you hearing corroboration from inside the Obama administration beyond Edward Snowden?
Well, remember, he's not the first NSA whistleblower to come forward. There have been others like Thomas Drake, who was prosecuted by the Obama administration unsuccessfully, and William Binney, who was a mathematician inside the NSA for several decades, who resigned in protest over how the agency began spying domestically after 9/11, both of whom say that everything Mr. Snowden alleges is what they've seen as well inside the agency. These are senior-level NSA officials. I have spoken with anonymous sources inside the government who certainly corroborate things that we're reporting. I don't think very much, if any, of our reporting has been meaningfully challenged by anyone in terms of accuracy or validity. And the reason is that we have the documents that prove it, that are created by the NSA. So we're very, very confident in the accuracy of everything we've reported.
I'm speaking with Glenn Greenwald from The Guardian, who's been reporting on NSA surveillance. You were on ABC This Week on Sunday. Here is Georgia Senator Republican Saxby Chambliss from the same show reacting to your assertion about who has authority to search the digital records. Let's take a listen.
We don't monitor emails. That's what kind of assures me that what the reporting is not correct, because no emails are monitored now. They used to be, but that stopped 2 or 3 years ago.
So any reaction to that? What's he talking about that stopped 2 or 3 years ago?
And the complete reaction, the complete ignorance of Saxby Chambliss about the NSA actually scares me. I mean, genuinely, the fact that he's one of the people who's supposed to be exercising oversight of this agency and yet has literally no idea what he's talking about. there was a program similar to the bulk collection of telephone records that the Obama administration was doing for email records under the Patriot Act. So they weren't just going to the FISA court and getting everyone's phone records. They were also going and getting everybody's email records, who you email, who emails you, where you are. That specific program, going to the FISA court under Section 215 of the Patriot Act, stopped at the end of 2011. Nobody knows why. It could be because the FISA court issued a ruling saying it was illegal. It could be because of something else. But to say that they are, from that they are not monitoring emails, they are monitoring billions of emails constantly, every single day. They collect literally billions of emails each month into their database. They're not collecting the physical paper records under this one specific program, but even that they're still collecting under different programs, but they're monitoring emails constantly all the time, and nobody who knows anything about the NSA would dispute that.
James in Highland Park, New Jersey, you've got a question for Glenn Greenwald?
Yes, I wanted to ask him if he makes any kind of an analogy between the collection of video data by random, you know, banks and retailers that was so valuable after the Marathon bombing in identifying those perpetrators with the collection of massive metadata on phone records or even email, not content, but who emailed whom. You know, I was very happy after the bombing that they were able to find those guys. And I was happy that all that, you know, random video data was collected. And I wonder if he ever makes that equation in his view on the NSA.
Glenn?
So let me say two things about that. First of all, there's a radical difference between having private parties have security cameras outside of their stores that capture people in public places like public streets, and having the state be able to go into your home, into your email accounts, into your most private realm, and be able to monitor and store every single thing that you're doing. Aside from the fact that the latter is infinitely more invasive, we don't have an expectation of privacy when we're on the street, but we do when we're in our home, the state is far more dangerous than any private actor, which is why the Constitution restricts what the government can do, but not what private corporations can do. The state can punish you in all sorts of ways. They can put you in a cage called prison. They can steal your or seize your property if they decide that you're guilty. They can threaten you in all kinds of ways. There's a whole long history in the United States of surveillance abuse on the part of the U.S. government, not on the part of Macy's or department stores. The second thing is, of course, you can always look to safety as the only thing that matters to you. So we could, for example, say if we allow the government to put cameras and monitors inside our home and inside of all of our private realm, we'll probably catch a lot more criminals, and that's probably true. We probably will. But the decision was made 250 years ago when the Fourth Amendment was enacted that we're willing to incur some heightened risk of criminality or violence in order to make sure that we have private places that are safe from government intrusion. And that's exactly the balance that is being destroyed by this ubiquitous spying apparatus that the NSA is building in the dark.
I want to move to the vote in Congress last week and start with Jan in Brooklyn. What are your thoughts about the vote in Congress last week? You there, Jan?
Yeah.
Hi. What were your thoughts about the vote in Congress last week about NSA surveillance?
Oh, hi. I just want to say thanks to Million for what he and Snowden did. And I want to say it's the height of hypocrisy that the 207 senators voted for it against the NSA, but nobody votes to support Snowden. I don't think there's any bill out there, is there?
Yeah, Glenn Greenwald, just talk a little bit about that vote in the House. Were you surprised by how the votes broke down?
It was an amazing vote because it's almost never the case that you see that kind of division in each party. 55% of Democrats voted to ban this NSA program to collect phone records, 55%, and 45% of Republicans. So you had huge amounts of support in both parties, even though the White House, Nancy Pelosi, and John Boehner, the leadership of both parties in the House, all banded together to urge everybody to vote against the bill. And you had the most extreme conservatives, like Justin Amash, who's a young Tea Party representative from Michigan, who sponsored the bill and co-sponsored it with John Conyers, the liberal icon who's in his 25th term in the House of Representatives, and members of the most liberal wing of the Democratic Party and the most conservative joined together to make this an unbelievably close vote. And the one thing I would say about what the caller said, which is so true, is that the hypocrisy If you go back and look at who the most vocal opponents of the NSA were when George Bush, a Republican, was president, it was basically Nancy Pelosi. She ran around constantly pretending to find all of this surveillance so offensive when she could use that to harm a Republican president. But now that there's a Democrat in office, she does a complete 180 reversal, and she becomes the leading defender of all of this massive secret surveillance simply because a Democrat is in office. It's disgustingly craven and unprincipled, the kind of thing that makes people hate the United States Congress. But I think you see this really inspiring movement for people to put down partisan identity or ideological categories and to realize that as Americans, we all have an interest in protecting our private realms from this massive surveillance apparatus being built by the state.
Dave in Brooklyn, what are your thoughts about the NSA surveillance?
Well, there's something that nobody's talking about. The people who are planning to do bad things to us need to use the internet to make their plans. This is completely different. This has never happened before. This was never envisioned by anybody. The surveillance stinks. It's terrible. But like Churchill said about democracy, it stinks the least. Because the bad guys are using the net to plan their stuff, their bad stuff, unfortunately, we have to surveil the net to find out what they're doing. And that's just the way it is. I wish there was another way around it, but the bad guys, in other words, need to do what they need to do over the net.
Yeah.
And if they're going to put their information there so that it can be caught by somebody.
Thanks for your call. Thanks for your call, Dave. I want to ask you about that, Glenn Greenwald. What is the response? How has it shifted over the past 6 to 7 weeks since your first story ran about that balance between civil liberties, privacy, and national security, keeping us safe?
There's some amazing polls that have been taken. In fact, almost every poll on this question has been released shows the same thing, which is that for the first time since 9/11, Americans are now more worried about abuses of civil liberties than they are worried about terrorism. And the way that the Bush administration and the Obama administration have succeeded is the way that, you know, political theorists have said that the state will always abuse power, which is they try to put their citizens into fear, like we just heard from that caller. The bad guys are trying to get us, so we have to give power to the state. The reality is there have always been, quote-unquote, bad guys. Before terrorism, there was communism. They used telephone lines and the like in order to plot all sorts of things against the United States. But we always had constraints on what the government could do in terms of surveillance. And we were able to defend ourselves perfectly fine. And I think that what's so important to realize here is that the surveillance system that we're talking about is not directed at the quote-unquote bad guys. It's directed at the American people, collecting everyone's phone records, going into the internet and collecting everything they can sweep up. If it were only directed at the terrorists, nobody would have a problem with it, but that isn't what's being done.
And just a few more questions before you go. What are your thoughts on the Bradley Manning trial? A decision is expected this afternoon in the case of the WikiLeaks source. Does this decision have implications for Edward Snowden?
It has implications for Edward Snowden, but it also has implications for press freedom in the United States. It's unbelievable that he is now charged with the crime of, quote, aiding the enemy, which is basically the language of treason, even though what he did is what sources forever have done. It's what Daniel Ellsberg did 45 years ago, which is he found secret documents that he believed revealed government wrongdoing, went to a media outlet, which was WikiLeaks, and said, publish this in a responsible way. And WikiLeaks began publishing it. Whatever you think of Bradley Manning, nobody thinks that his intent was to help al-Qaeda. But the government theory is that because al-Qaeda had an interest in what was published, that means he should be basically put into prison for the rest of his life. Osama bin Laden issued a statement in 2006 saying everybody should go read Bob Woodward's books because Bob Woodward is publishing secrets that are extremely interesting to us as al-Qaeda. If Bradley Manning ends up convicted on this aiding and the enemy charge today, it will mean that any government official who leaks any kind of secret information to the media, which ultimately ends up informing the terrorists, is now basically guilty of treason. It's one of the most severe attacks on press freedom in some time.
And on Edward Snowden, when was the last time you two were in touch?
We talked very regularly.
And can you characterize your conversations? What's his mood at this point?
Well, I mean, he's actually amazingly, despite how difficult his situation obviously is, extremely gratified that the debate that he was hoping to provoke when he did what he did has happened beyond anyone's wildest dreams, including his. I mean, he watched that debate in Congress. He has watched the huge amounts of reform that has been called for in terms of surveillance. He's seen, which I think most Americans don't realize, just how much this story has resonated globally. I mean, in all kinds of countries, in Brazil, where I am now, in Germany, in all states throughout the EU and Latin America, there's huge debates for the first time taking place about the dangers of surveillance, about the value of privacy and internet freedom. And so he knew when he came forward that his life was going to be unraveled, that he faced a lot of dangers in doing what he did. That's what makes what he did so courageous. But he did it because he wanted the world to know what the U.S. government was doing to them and their privacy in the dark. And so to be able to watch exactly what he was hoping would happen is very gratifying to him.
Edward Snowden is gratified. Finally, one quick question. We noticed that you're participating in an online event for New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt, who's running for the Senate special election against Cory Booker and others in New Jersey. Why get involved in this race for you?
Well, I think Cory Booker is, you know, there's certain opinions that he has that I agree with, and certain things about him that I find admirable, but he's basically just a standard Democratic Party politician who is beholden in all sorts of ways to Wall Street. He's just swimming in Wall Street cash and will be one of these, yet another Democratic Party politician who goes to Washington and serves the interest of the richest and most powerful. Whereas Congressman Holt has a real history of standing up for just the common person in his district, for fighting against crony capitalism, and especially has been an ally for a long time in warning about the dangers of the NSA and this kind of spying. If you go back and look at what he was saying in 2008, he was predicting exactly the kind of dangers that we've seen. He's a physicist, and so he brings this perspective as a scientist to the Senate that I think would really benefit the voters from New Jersey and the country generally.
Glenn Greenwald is a national security columnist for The Guardian and author of the book With Liberty and Justice for Some. Thanks so much for joining us on The Brian Lehrer Show again.
Thank you for having me.
After the break, we'll get your reactions, Catholics, to what Pope Francis had to say yesterday. That's after the news. 212-433-9692. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer.